When I lived at Amravati, we would have a Zen group and they would come, and somehow or another we learned that the Zen people would, if we asked them to cut the hedges in their chore time, that they would cut the hedges straight if the if the rest of us did it. Zen people can make circles, but somehow the Theravadins cannot. But we did it. Look, we made a circle. There's a seat that's free there for you. We made a circle.
Yeah.
So I want to begin this discussion by asking you again, what is seamless reality?
What I experienced was an open heart. When you were talking about points of access, I was searching in my body for a point of access. And what came for me was the heart, open heart.
Letting go of self through like loving kindness and compassion. Opening them, you know, the path from the mind to the heart, keeping it open.
Emptiness.
Can you say more?
A mind that is free of suffering and completely empty, and so there's just nothing left but freedom.
Wonderful experience. It's sort of also like that moment right before you go to sleep where, and you catch yourself and you wake back up, and there's that gap there that almost feels like it's a little doorway. And you don't, that sounds kind of corny, but it's an experience that I relate to the seamless.
For me, it's your sense of unconditional, total acceptance of just being. And in the exercise, when you were going through the different things of how you feel. There was an instance that was just
I think that there must be two types, or more than one type of seamless reality. I think one of them catches us off guard, in the sense that for me it's nature. You could be anywhere, and all of a sudden something happens, a flock of birds or even a sound, and the world stops. And there's pure joy, and there's nothing to interrupt that. It's such a gift, but it's not long lasting, maybe seconds to minutes, or even throughout the day, but I don't know if that fits. But it, I've had momentary experiences like that during the day, and it's not describable.
Why are there two kinds?
Well, I think, see, one as longer lasting, one is instantaneous and short-lived, and I don't know. I'm making that up. Because I think, in our daily life, I think there are situations. But that one I know for sure, for me anyway. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, maybe you'd want to comment on that. About why there might be just one.
Well, the image that comes to mind is the ocean. You know, we can be in a tide pool, or we can be in the deep ocean. It's the same ocean. You know, they aren't two separate oceans, but the experience of saturation is different because of the depth of one and the shallowness of the other. But they're not separate oceans.
That makes sense, but when you instill that with human beings and our behaviors, such as what's going on in our world now.
Well, just because there's seamless reality doesn't mean that ignorance doesn't exist. There's plenty of place for ignorance to exist. But the ignorance doesn't obliterate the seamless reality. It's compelling and needs attention, but it is not obliterating. It does not erase, eradicate, reduce, eliminate seamless reality.
So it's always there.
It's always there.
Even under the ignorance, sometimes it's a little hard to find.
Access is not always easy. But just like, the sun doesn't, the stars don't go away in the daytime when the sun comes out. We just can't see them because the sun is so bright. So that they're not disappearing, but our ability to see them changes because the brightness in the sky. So when the ignorance is stronger and there's so much going on that's so confusing and activating and compelling,
we go from one confusing, activating, compelling thing to another. And many of us are not dropping into this deep, ever-present, all-pervasive, timeless anchor, which has always been there. It will always be there. And that, when I touch into that, it completely changes the way that I feel about everything. You know? Got more capacity.
How do you get away, though, from the beginning and the end? Because they're so, you know, as humans, everything's so momentary. I mean, our lives are built around beginnings and ends, whether they're seconds or years. And so seamless, I agree with you, it's always there. But the fight is to get, the struggle is to lengthen that experience.
That's also just another manifestation of wanting.
Of wanting?
Wanting.
Oh, wanting.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. And so anytime we're dealing with time, there's going to be a beginning and the end. That's the way time works. But when we have a moment or some moments of what is timeless, then timeless doesn't have a beginning of timeless, a middle of timeless, an end of timeless. It's just timeless.
But still, the experience as a human being is, I just had this moment where I connected, and I understand. But I can't keep it.
No, we can't keep the thing. Even if we have access to something which is timeless, that access is not permanent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Dang. There's no happy ending here.
Yes.
I think it's got something to do with the acceptance of equanimity.
Say more.
That we know there's 10,000 joys and 10,000 sorrows which we can't separate, really. I mean, practicing. Well, I guess I need to listen to you more. I'm trying to say something, but I don't have all of that to back it up. But I think it has something to do with equanimity, you know, the good and the bad. We just got to recognize them as it's there. And I have to get my focus on that out of the way. So that I can be at peace.
Well, from myself, I'm also very impacted by some of the things that are going on in the world around. And I have good days and bad days, and days when I'm just tied up into a pretzel and feel really anxious, and times when I feel really clear. Times when I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do, and times when I'm really clear what I'm supposed to do. And so, you know, part of my journey is meeting what is. And what is dealing with my humanity and the lay in which I am impacted by it and responding to that. So I too find nature a tremendous access. And so, you know, I schedule in times when I can be in nature. And, you know, at the end of the day when my head feels like this, you know, I have a friendly tree I can walk to. She can fix anything. You know, she just fixes it. And so, you know, and I know that. So that when I'm not feeling connected or balanced, or I'm feeling overwhelmed, or I've just been doing too much on the computer, then I put myself in places where I have easier access, where my system can calm down. I can feel support. I can release the tension because there's something holding me that I trust, that I can relax into.
Like today.
Yeah.
It is days like today when you can drop down into that, more of that sense of the timelessness of things. But otherwise, in the chaos, for me, it's mostly remembering that there wasn't that place, and that I'll find it again. I know when I go to the mountains, if I'm camping, and if you're not near radios, there's a silence in the mountains that is so profound, and you can feel as if the world has gone on forever, and you are just, and you are part of that. But those mountains are there, just there, and that's their job, to just be there. And I can remember when I'm having difficulties, I can remember that I had that experience, and I may not be feeling it now, but that's there.
So part of our work as practitioners is to find our access points and to find shorten the time that it takes us to get there. So like even in the standing pushing exercise, that was not a very long time in terms of clock time. But look what happened to everybody in that. You know, look at how powerful that was. And so that wasn't about out there stuff. It was about connecting with internal resource and feeling like we are part of a much bigger sphere. And that was what we did with our mind. And how we felt that with each other. And so the movement is can certainly come through going someplace like the mountain. But it can also come by dropping in and feeling the ancestors behind us, the new generation in front of us, our dignity that extends, our relationship. And so our skill or our task, our work, is to both go to the mountain and to turn our attention in the minute when we've lost it, you know? When we've lost it, just turn attention and drop our center of gravity and feel the earth underneath us. And feel our ancestors behind us and see the young people in front of us. And watch what happens.
I did find that very powerful to be reminded.
Glad you brought up not only our ancestors, but the generations to come. I wouldn't have said that when I worked with disturbed adolescents, but as I've gotten older and got to know some beautiful young people in my neighborhood, I have the most hope I've ever had. That's where, you know, it's at. That's a resource that we all must support and nurture and make sure in any way we can that they can be the best that they can be. It's amazing. I think it's as I've gotten older to just really appreciate especially as the world changes so quickly, and they're just bang, 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 you know, they're catching on. It really is a tremendous hope.
This morning, my answer to the question was experiencing without judging, because I'm so quick to label experience and look at it conceptually and that sort of thing. And I think the exercise kind of bore that out a little bit, but my access point, the strongest one, seems to be in relationships. And that's where I'm most likely to experience seamless reality, when the ego kind of drops away and you're simply with someone and in the present moment. And I've been able to turn off my conceptual mind.
I think before I came here and then coming here and listening to the talk and then at this moment, because I think everything we hear is all subject to kind of interpretation based on our experiences. Right? So for me, seamless reality, again, was just like something I interpret. And then it started changing over the years. If I look back, childhood to the, you know, adolescent years to now. But then I thought seamless reality is really a core reality as I see it or interpret it. I thought it's something out there that I have to go and get it, and I can control by having things or people around me. But then as I get older and older, I realized I can do that. And with that came a lot of, the word we use is like, the most common word is the frustration, the frustrated moments of sadness, unhappiness. But then, to me, the word, or the two words, access points, the way I thought of was, or at least right now I'm thinking of that, is my six senses, or the sensory doors. Because I think that, like the eye, the nose, tongue, the five senses, and the mind, that's kind of the way I look at it right now. So I thought, oh, that's right here within me, the access points are. They're all within me, and I don't have to go outside. And how I respond to these sensory experiences is what I interpret as seamless reality. And then I can say it is reality or not, but it's all my own interpretation based on my past experiences. So it can be the color or the sound. I think being kind of, or like practicing like meditation or acceptance and kind of letting go of those labeling allows me to kind of accept more and more and more. It can be a loud noise and I think, oh, it's going to last for maybe a minute or two or three, even if it is lasting, going to last for 1 hour. That kind of comes into that statement you made about like timelessness. Nothing lasts forever, we have that saying all the time. So then we start to develop that patience within us. And then I notice kind of my reaction to the sensory or the access points or my senses is kind of lowering and lowering and lowering and lowering, and the anger starts to kind of subside. Mm-hmm. And then even the happiness, I don't say it's always there, but I'm not worried that much. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be at a certain level of happiness, so I don't have to say I have to stay up till like midnight or past midnight to consider that's a good party or something like that. It is just whatever happens, it happens. But that doesn't mean also I kind of thought about it a lot, and it doesn't mean that I'm having like a very unhappy life. No. So that, I think, again, it comes to that acceptance, and so it's kind of like levels off, and sort of like I can see far away or even right in front of me. So these points are the senses, and they are, and I, very nice example I can think of real quick is one of the 10-day going kind of retreats a while ago I attended. And it was at, I think it was at 1 year Yosemite Park. So we get the breaks in between. And then I was outside just looking at a faraway mountaintop, and there was this pine tree, I think. That was the first time I ever thought of that way. Saw the tree, and I, all those times, you know, prior to that, I would say, hey, I saw a tree. But then I thought, is it just a reflection or the image that falls on my eye that I consider that to be a tree and a green color tree and a pine tree and all those labeling I do? So that was my first experience ever, kind of start to think, oh, it's the senses that start to give the signals, and then that's where the access points are to me. But I'm really thankful. Actually, I should say thank you to her. I mean, she's my daughter here. And we were thinking about going to a retreat in Bay Area, one of the children's retreats. And tomorrow we have to drive out of town for about 3 hours one way. And then I told her, you know, there is this bikini coming to town, and we met before. So then I told her, like, you know, let's go here instead of driving 2 hours to San Jose. So then I also thought again, like accepting that.
Mm-hmm.
She, you know, she probably didn't know, even I didn't know what to expect, right?
Mm-hmm.
But without judgment, let it happen and see what comes out. And thank you.
I'm an innovator. You know, things come my way and I pick up on them and I use them for helping to understand and to teach. You know, I'm an innovator. I have been most of my life. And you know, this TED talk from Angel Kyoto Williams I saw yesterday, and I thought, this is brilliant. This is completely brilliant. Because this gives an embodied experience that helps people understand what seamless reality is like. And it's not conceptual. It's something that you can directly experience. And so I'm willing to do things that are innovative. Because for me, it's taking the core fundamental principles and finding ways to show people their own access. And that I find exciting or interesting or invigorating. It makes me happy, you know. And just watching your faces, all of your faces, you know, the transformation in your faces, you know, it's just really lovely to see that. So I want to ask you another question. What was it like when I came and I joined your group?
Yeah. You had us go into our access point, which for me today was embodiment and groundedness. And so, but one aspect of seamlessness that I've realized through the exercises you gave us, including that one, was the seamlessness between the inner and the outer. So I was, you know, embodied and grounded. And then you sat there, and immediately the awareness. And it was funny because I was kind of inside myself, but when you sat there, it immediately took in all three, and it kind of went out to the whole room. So it was like the bubble burst, and the seamlessness just expanded out.
Anybody else want to share about what that was like?
I didn't notice. I thought. When is she coming? But I just kept following my breath, and then you rang the bell, and so did you sit with us?
I did.
She's very quiet.
You must have been really quiet, or
quiet.
I was just really watching my breath.
I was quiet. Yeah, I was quiet.
I think you made it to seamless reality moment. I didn't even notice. But first I thought you said, of course, I didn't open my eyes or anything. But after a while, I thought you were sitting there still. But
mm-hmm.
I think somebody else said, I rang. And then I heard the bell ring.
Yeah.
I'm sure you were going around.
Yeah.
So.
I just felt a shift in the air around me.
didn't just shift it out.
That was it. I thought I was going to feel something more profound. But it was mainly a shifting of, like the air shifted. But my question is, what were you kind of, I mean, if I'm not being presumptuous, were you looking for to feel something different between groups, or what were you want to pick up things in between the groups?
No, I was just open to seeing what it was. But I've never done that before, so I was curious what it was going to be like for you, if you found that useful or helpful, or if it helped you open up, if there was some, if that was helpful.
Did you pick up any? I mean,
well, there was certainly different groups had different things that I felt differently. Yeah.
Do tell.
I'm a sensate person. I feel things in my body. I'm in a feeling and a sense, and I feel things in my body. And so there were just different physical sensations.
Yeah.
Tingling or less tingling or more tingling or more sense of space, more sense of heart, more sense of ground, different things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some things that felt very wide open, other things that felt very grounded. It's just different. I didn't come with an agenda. It was an experiment. I've never done it before.
Yeah.
But it was in response to one of my friends who was just inviting me to explore different ways that I could practice with people to help support. Mm-hmm. And this is not something I'd ever done before. Mm-hmm. So I thought, well, you know, I'll see what it feels like.
So I know you're big on the feeling, so you did feel different energy between groups.
Yeah.
I think that I'm going to use that as an access point in the future.
Use which?
Imagining you coming and sitting with me.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if anybody uses in the seamless reality, are there some people that use God interchanging with that?
Yeah, I think for many people, God would work instead of seamless reality.
Okay, I get it. Because the first sentence on the website about today made sense to me, and that's why I'm here. But the next three or four sentences, what are they talking about? Mm-hmm. It's too esoteric. Mm-hmm. And I think seamless reality is a little bit esoteric for me, because I really don't think there is a reality. I think it's a very transient thing. Everywhere you are, all over the world, every minute it changes. So how can there be a reality? But if you can interchange it with God, then I can.
You're good.
I'm good.
Well, on that lovely note, what I'd like to do is to shift gears again.